sanctuary, they always use that aisle, and I can just walk up here and not get run over. Well, here we're cruising through this series. I'm not sure how many more there are. Discipleship. What is discipleship? What's it look like, sound like, and what are some of the key characteristics of a growing disciple that a growing disciple has? I'm going to actually invite Ethan Fiffner to come forward. He's going to do some stuff down here for me while I speak. We're walking through this series, Disciples Making Disciples for God's Glory and Our Joy. And today's two things that get put together are both bonded and building. A disciple, a growing disciple, is both bonded and building. So he's going to do that. He's got some glue there and some blocks, and he's going to bond them together and build something out of it while I speak. So for those of you that are visual, you can have someone else to look at instead of the glow off my head. So we're discussing discipleship, and again, I'm going to go with these two definitions throughout it, but becoming lifelong apprentices of Jesus. And there's a becoming process. It doesn't just immediately happen. There's a becoming. We grow up into this discipleship. It's a process. And we go to the next definition. Discipleship is really our response to the radical love that Jesus has for us. And the key point I want to point out this morning out of that one is that it's an us. There's a group of people here. And it's a process of us becoming us, of becoming the people of God, of becoming who we're created to be, and it's us together. And a growing disciple, in order to do this, is both bonded and building. So as Ethan keeps building there for us, I'm going to read Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 23. A little passage to help us introduce this topic here. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us, through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our faith sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who is promised is faithful. We're bonded both to Jesus and we're bonded to one another. Let us, we come together, and he's made the way. We celebrate this when we celebrate communion and constantly, that he's made the way we can be in right relationship with God. We come with confidence. We come through the sacrifice of Jesus, what he did for us. We have forgiveness. We have potential of, or he's opened up the way to have right relationship with God. But let us draw near and grow in that. Let us hold fast the confession without wavering. For he who is promised is faithful. It's based on him. And we're bonded. We're glued together. We're glued to Jesus and we're glued to each other. Now, if we can just slowly go through the next slides here. But there's some unusual bonds I've come across. With some in the animal kingdom, we're different. They're not usually friends. And yet, these exist in creation. Monkey and a dog and a whatever has several of them up there. They're unlikely friends and they're hanging around where they often would hurt one another. And it's beyond understanding. And they're just content to be in each other's presence. They're not trying to prove that they're worthy of friendship. These animals are just enjoying each other as they are. They're just bonded. They have these unusual bonds. What built that bond? What caused these two animals to connect together? I know there's a small zoo up near Three Hills that we've been to before. Gazoo, it's called. I don't even know if it's actually still functioning. They were under some challenges there. Take in animals that have been, they're basically on death row somewhere else. Some zoo or something doesn't want them, and they rescue them and look after them. And there's quite a few there. Well, they had this one dog there that was... I'm not sure how old it was, but it was older than the lion that they put in with it. And because the dog was older at the time, the lion actually submits to the dog. So I've seen, not only did I find those pictures on the internet, but I've seen it up close and personal. And the dog is actually the ruler in that cage because the lion got used to it, even though the lion would outweigh him, I don't know, 5-1, 6-1. It's a big cat in the cage with a fairly big lion. But they have this bond and it works. They get along, and we need some of that bonding in church relationships as well. Because it's cute with animals, and we notice when it works there. But it actually seems impossible at times for us, doesn't it? If we go to the picture of the people there next, our diversity is fun. When we first get to know each other, right? It's when we've gone to another culture. We've mostly been in Latin American cultures doing missions work. And they think our accent's funny. I mean, well, Latin Americans almost think everything's funny. They're willing to laugh at themselves, but they'll gladly laugh at us too when we're down there. And we are pretty funny. We've had some incredible experiences. Building a bond, but it starts with laughing at some of the differences rather than dividing over the differences. But doesn't it seem impossible at times? And what binds us together? What's the glue? We'll talk about this some more here as we go on. Ethan's using some glue there. What's the glue that actually builds a bond that lasts, that we can actually journey forward and become the people of God that He's calling us to be? Well, first I want to go the other way and go to the next slide. And when we think about this bond, or the opposite of it, when we share our strengths, we get competition. Right? This starts out really young in life, right? Two boys, two kids, whatever, playing in the sandbox. My dad can do this. Well, my dad can do that, right? And we get a competition right off the bat. Or you think of children playing. Hey, watch this, watch this. I can do this. Or when I was on holidays, I did this. And then the next one's got to tell a better story and a better story and better story. And our whole culture almost is built on that. We stink at listening and going, wow, that sounds neat, and asking a follow-up question. There's some people sitting right here that are really good question askers and conversationalists, and they draw out the... But many times we're just slipped into, well, I'm going to tell the next story and the next story, and it's a competition. That isn't the glue. That's the exact opposite. That keeps us separated, that keeps us at arm's length, and we're just kind of presenting our strengths, we're just showing this side of us. And many of us are comfortable to live there, sort of. And we get good at it. We get good at it to the point where we almost can't do anything else. But if we go to the next slide, this is also true. When we share our weaknesses, we get community. And this is the glue. It often starts there. How often are we drawn together as someone comes and says, hey, I'm struggling with this. Will you pray for me? Does that not draw us into closer relationship? Most of us long so much for that kind of close relationships. But how often will we put ourselves out there and let someone see what's actually going on inside us and be the weak one in the moment? Most of us are very comfortable serving someone else, and we find it a privilege. And we like that kind of posture where we're serving them, caring for them. We're uncomfortable being cared for. But that's not true community. True community, we all admit, hey, we're all broken. Get used to it. get more comfortable with it. And we all need help, and it's a different kind of help. And it bonds us together. When we share our weaknesses, we get community. We move towards becoming a biblical community. We all feel like the odd one out sometimes. If we can go to the next slide. We're the only pig in the race. We're the only white egg in a batch of brown. We're the only red sad guy in the vast, right? We can come here on a Sunday morning and everybody's got their yellow happy face on, and inside I feel like I'm the only red sad face. I'm the only one that's struggling with something that's got a grip around me. Our family is the only one that had a battle in it this morning, right? I doubt it. We're not that unique, but we feel like it at times. We're the only red apple in the batch of green, or the only green one in the batch of red, and it doesn't matter how we look at it. But we feel that way. We feel it very acutely. In fact, some of us, we rarely move out of this state. We rarely ever move into being one of the yellow ones in the batch of yellow. And we're stuck there. Scared, nobody else is experiencing it. That's a lie from the pit of hell, brothers and sisters. We need to recognize it for what it is. It's keeping us separate where God's called us to be a people, called us into community, and we need each other. There's a dependence upon God. Absolutely, we learn to depend on Him. He's our life, He's our source, He's our peace, He's so much more. We've been talking about that in the first couple, several of the other characteristics of a growing disciple. And we need to be interdependent with one another. We live out our discipleship in relationship to one another. We learn how to love one another. And often it's me how to love you, because that's the posture I would rather have. How do I care for you when you're not doing well? Thanks so much. You've built quite a structure there on bonding and building. And they're all bonded together with the glue, and they're built into a structure. And so God is building us into a structure. And the glue is this weakness. We come before God level at the foot of the cross. And we learn to be dependent on God together, and we learn to be interdependent with one another. 1 Peter 2, I'll end up reading the first 9 verses of 1 Peter chapter 2. So put away all malice and all deceit and all hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Most of those are internal, that comes out sometimes. Hypocrisy, the way we live before people. But quit putting on an air, something that is false. Like newborn infants, long for pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Perfect love casts out fear. And the more we're walking with God and experiencing His unimaginable, incomparable, unconditional love for us, the more we can put off hiding ourselves and be real who we are. As you come to Him, a living stone rejected by men, yeah, He felt like the odd person out too. And indeed, it was accurate for His scenario. He was rejected by men. But in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices to God through Jesus Christ. We're bonded to Christ, and we're bonded in Christ to one another. And we need each other. It's a good thing, even though it's scary and it's fearful, and we push away and we want to present ourselves as having it together. we're asked to put that aside and bond anyways. Move towards one another. Submit to one another. Learn to love one another. And love happens when we're truly honest and vulnerable. Not when we're standoffish and competitive, but when we're moving towards community. Looking further in 1 Peter here. For it stands in Scripture, this is quoting the Old Testament, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious. And whoever believes in him," this is speaking about Jesus, "will not be put to shame." Will not be put to shame. Shame is a powerful thing in our lives often. Shame is different than guilt. Guilt is being guilty of doing an action. Shame is where we take that on as part of our identity, where I am broken more than other people. I am faulty at the core. I am. And it's shame. It's shame where we have a view of ourselves that's far different than the way God views us. If you remember when I was talking about thriving, our identity is we're called out, we're chosen, we're loved, and we can be secure in that relationship. That blows up the lie that we should live out of shame, that something about us is more broken than the rest of us. Again, that's a lie from the pit of hell. Makes us stand out, right? Our family's more broken than every other family. I am more broken. If you really knew me, you wouldn't really accept me. And it holds us off. It holds us distant. But we'll not be put to shame. Whoever believes in him. Now that's a growing and an understanding that we need. This is speaking about Jesus, who's chosen and precious. He's the chief cornerstone. We didn't build it in that way, but when they built it, the cornerstone set the foundation for everything else in a building. So honor is for you who believe. Can you imagine? He honors us. He cherishes us. He delights in us. For you who believe. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you, going on to verse 9, are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. For you, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now we're bridging. This is both bonded to who Christ says we are, bonded in Christ with one another, the first part of this verse. And it's for a reason. We're bonded for a reason, a purpose. A purpose bigger than any one of us. A purpose bigger than all of us together. And the purpose is that we may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. See, this building aspect is twofold at least. There's two ways. And there's two key pieces of this building that goes on. We're called to build into one another. Let's look at Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider how to stir up one another. Well, that's easy. I can see that in our own family relationships. It's easy to stir up, right? But this doesn't end there. We're talking about that in the baptism and membership class. We could just read that part of the verse and be very skewed in our thinking. Ooh, the Bible tells us to stir up, and then we all go out here and pokey prod each other and bug us until we get a punch in the face. And let us consider how to stir up one another to something bigger than ourselves, to love and good works. And where does it come from? Not neglecting to meet together, as some are in the habit of doing. This isn't just meeting physically. This is that. But it's really meeting. Or else we're really not the people of God. It's meeting where we're really at in our journeys, in our lives. but encouraging one another. How can we encourage one another? We don't even know what's going on in their lives. We can do it in the general sense, but not real encouragement as Scripture talks about. Speaking right down to core things, helping each other identify spiritual gifts, blessing they are, in all sorts of ways that we can encourage one another. Even in the deepest of valleys, somebody has good insights. God speaking truths to them. Can we encourage one another? Will we let others the privilege of encouraging us? Encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. This is the day when Jesus returns. He fully sets things right. But don't stop setting things right as much as you're able in your sphere of influence right now, is the first part of these verses. Encourage one another. Build each other up. Life's hard on this planet. It's way harder than it was ever supposed to be. God created it and it was beautiful. It was just as it should be. And it's distorted and it's twisted. And now we struggle and we strive and things are way harder and they're more distorted and we find it in our own hearts and minds and we experience it in our own relationships. We need to love one another, encourage one another, come alongside one another, spur one another on, stir them up to love and good deeds and love and good works. In 1 Corinthians 12, it points out, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Yes, the common good of the body. And we're called to be building. We'll get into this much more next week with a couple of more characteristics. But this should extend. We should have such a foundation here of solid relationships that we are confident in that, we can push out into the world and get to know other people and build them into the spiritual house as well. Let them know they have a role. They are loved by God and invited to be built into a spiritual house, as 1 Peter that we read earlier is. This is all sorts of ways this should be happening. Encouraging one another and encouraging a world towards this, towards what they were created for. I think of small groups. Often we're looking to the church, the organization, to provide small groups, and we will work at that. It's been on my radar, basically the whole year and a half almost that I've been here. But we're not going to get there right away, and we need to equip some leaders and whatever else. Some are going. I know there's a desire for more. There's a desire for more of this connecting. And not all of it's going to happen through the organization called the church. We have permission to meet together. In fact, we have the command to meet together. How about every time we meet together, we keep this in mind? If we share our strengths, we get competition. If we share our weaknesses, we get community. What if every time we get together, we seek to be bonded more and more and building more and more, and we're willing to push through and risk that and share something and invite people into where we're really at in our lives? Every conversation, every time we have someone over for a meal, every time we go for a walk. And yes, sometimes we'll build that into a regular meeting where it's a group of women or a group of men or a group of families, whatever that family group looks like, or couples or whatever else. Every time we practice music, are we bonding and building, or are we just getting the work done? A growing disciple is looking for these kind of opportunities to be bonded to one another and building the kingdom. And building it first within, or also within, encouraging one another and inviting others. It will require grace, right? Because when we're glued together, there's some friction there. There's some coming together, and we don't just maybe naturally fit together. It's going to take some work. There's going to be some forgiveness involved. Sometimes in churches, it's family extended family coming together, but there is no bonding on the larger scale. That doesn't bring glory to God either. Or we've got these cliques for whatever reason. We only hang out with these groups, but there's not a broader bonding going on or building. Because where bonding doesn't exist, we can't really build one another up either. Or it gets confusing in building the structure as well. Obviously, we belong to a worldwide church of God. Every true believer is part of the body, but it shows itself in local congregations. And we can be more bonded. I don't know if you know this. I think I've mentioned it before, but I meet with Coaldale Mennonite and the Rock Church, and we've invited other churches in Coaldale to be a part of it. We meet for prayer about monthly. We're plan some things together. We'll be doing a joint settler days service. It's an opportunity to be bonded even more broadly and to build more broadly. And this brings glory to God. For God's glory and our joy. Everyone bonded and building. That's a growing disciple. So I've got a question before I'm going to read one more passage here. But in what way this week is God inviting you by His Spirit right now to be involved in building those bonds? Right? We all long for it. We all have fears we need to push through to go there, to move in that direction. We're all scared to be the one to initiate it and go, I'm weak in this area. Will you care for me? And a mature person will go, absolutely. And would you care for me in this way? Because none of us have arrived, right? We get together and we come together as the people of God. What would God, what might He do in our community if we could love each other even 2% better in the next weeks? If we would move towards this, just make incremental adjustments towards being bonded and building. Might we be a little more healthy? Absolutely, in all sorts of ways. We need each other. I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 2, 14 to the end of the chapter. Just think about these things as I read this. For Jesus Himself is our peace, who has made the two one. This is speaking about Gentiles and Jews, but it's much broader than that, even in this passage, and it's certainly broader in our application here this morning. He's made the two one. So even when we feel like we're not, we're definitely aware of the two-ness, but not the oneness, He's made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in His flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in Himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. This is one new mankind. And in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which He put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. Right? We're on the same level at the cross. We all need supernatural peace, not just our own. For through Him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, the odd person out, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone, the key piece that all this is built on. In Him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. Do we not see the Spirit of God working in our community and across our land? Maybe because we're not coming together We're not bonded. We're content to live at arm's length or half an arm's length. And God says, and when you come together, I've already provided the way. I've made the way. We all need peace. And we're pointing out the differences. He says, come together where you have things in common and build. Be bonded together in Christ and be building in Christ. What might He do both in us and through us if we'll come together as the people of God? Would you join me in prayer before the team leads us in a closing song? Heavenly Father, we live so much more by faith sometimes, or by fear sometimes, than we do by faith. You call us to be a people of faith. You call us to be a people. And sometimes we're desperately intent on being individuals or at best little groups, however we define those groups. You call us all together. And it's going to take grace. It's going to take journeying together to learn how to do this. But I pray you would give us the faith. In fact, those things that you've brought to our minds, ways we can move towards being more bonded, accessing the glue. You are the glue, and our own humility, our own coming to you and to other people as we really are, sharing our weaknesses, we get community. I pray you would give us the faith to push through the barriers. You've already pushed through them. You've made a way. Will we follow you through that? I pray you'd give us courage to act this week to move towards being more bonded and building. And again, we ask it for your glory and your sake, Jesus. Amen.